guys. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. But before I go on, I'm just going to pray really quick. God, I just thank you for today. God, we just thank you for your presence that is in this room right now, God. And we just say that tonight we just give to you, God, for you to do whatever you want to do in this room, God. We just release freedom into this room right now. And God, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We just set aside every preference right now, God, how we prefer to worship, how we prefer to hear the word, how we prefer to pray, God. We just say that we, above all else, we just want your presence. So we just thank you for your presence in this room tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah. So just like Oleg said, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. My brother and I came all the way up here to New York. Actually, I was born in Utica, New York, for those of you who don't know. I was born here. We came here a lot growing up, like a lot. So I love this place and I love the people here. And I have a lot of family still here. So, yeah. Tonight, I just want to share a little bit about what God is doing in our ministry and what kind of... Hi. Sorry, I just saw someone I knew. but what kind of God has been doing in our ministry and kind of what God has just been opening and revealing to us about the call that is on our life and why it's so important. And so 2 years ago, I found myself sitting in my room and I had my Bible open and I also had a devotional book open. And most of you in here, I guarantee, have probably been Christian for most of your life. So most of you guys know what a devotional book is, right? There's one for every day of the week. You open it up, you read it. And so I found myself opening up this devotional book in front of me and I'm reading it and it doesn't apply to my life whatsoever. And so I flip to the next page and I read it and it does not apply to my life in this moment whatsoever. And what is written there is fantastic, it's great. And that's really awesome, but it is not applying to my life. And so what I'm doing is I'm like playing that Russian roulette game with the devotional book, is I just keep flipping to another page and I'm hoping that somehow one of these pages are going to speak to me. They're going to speak to my situation. And I'm crying out to God. I'm like, none of this is making any sense. None of this is touching me. None of this is making any sense to my life. And so I just cried out to God. And I said, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you in a way that I've never heard you before. I want to hear it every single day. Because we do. We hear his voice. The Bible actually says, my sheep hear my voice. And you're his sheep. So you hear his voice. This is not on a Sundays I hear his voice when the pastor speaks up here. This is when I'm spending time with the Lord on a day-to-day basis, I hear his voice all day long. And so I'm in this moment of just breaking down and almost crying. And I'm like, God, these devotional books are doing nothing for me. I don't know what's going on, but I need more. I want more. I know you're real. I know most of you in this room believe he's real, but I want more. I'm tired of this. It was about a week after that this guy came to our church. He taught us these tools that completely transformed my life. In the past 2 years, I feel like there's just been an acceleration. I, for the first time in my life, believe that I not only hear his voice, I obey his voice. Because God says, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey. We are literally called to create obeyers, to teach people how to obey. That's what we're called to do. And so how do we do that? How the heck do we do that? And the Bible says, Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So this is what I call the call. This is our call, every single one of us. I love the question I always get no matter where I go. What's my calling? What's my calling? That's like everyone's favorite question. Whether you're a teenager, a young adult, it does not matter. That's everyone's favorite question. What's my calling? This is our calling. All of us. Everyone's calling. It's not just one person. It's not just the other person. It's everyone's calling. So the days have long gone that we go to a prophet to hear God's voice. You know, I was the other week or the other month, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I came up to someone and they were asking me about my life and what was going on. And they said, you know, I said, oh, God's called me into full-time ministry. I'm just doing some crazy stuff. Totally. I quit my job. I'm doing all this stuff. And they're like, what? Like, so how do you know that you've been called into full-time ministry? I'm like, oh, God told me. And they're like how? You went to a prophet and they told you? I'm like, no, God told me. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, the word of God says my sheep hear my voice, so I hear his voice. So when he said, quit your job and go into full-time ministry, I obeyed because I hear him. So the time has long gone that we seek prophets to hear his voice about our situation because we hear his voice. We all hear his voice. And so that's actually part of what I'm teaching tonight. And so I'm going to go into now what these tools are. And bear with me. I'm going to use terms like pivot and prism, and you're not going to have any idea what I'm talking about until the end of this. So just bear with me, and I promise it will all make sense in the end, all right? Yeah? Okay, good. I like responses, so talk back to me, okay? All right, so we're going to go into pivot first. So if we can slide, haven't gone through how to process the system yet. Perfect. Pivot. What is pivot? Pivot is a tool that helps you understand God's plan for your day so you can live your best life. Through a lot of acronyms. Listen, I don't want you focused on taking a bunch of notes tonight because I have packets. So if you're interested in this, if you want to know, like if you want to have it, if you want to do this on a day-to-day basis after today, you're just like on fire and you're like, I want to do this. Whatever this is, I want to do it. Come up to me after service. I'll have a packet for you and you can take it. So just focus on listening tonight and receiving. Okay, so PIVOT is an acronym and PRISM is an acronym. Y'all know what an acronym is? I'm an English teacher, so I have to know what an acronym is. But an acronym basically just breaks down the word PIVOT to prayer, vision, accountability, and testimony. That's what it stands for. Prayer, vision, accountability, and testimony. And we can go ahead on to the next slide. PIVOT. Why do we do pivot? The word of God says, Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, surrendering to God, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Through this tool, pivot, we are actually offering ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord. We're saying, above all else, above what I want to do with today, with my day, with this Saturday, I'm going to ask you first what you want me to do, and I'm going to obey. And then that's how my life is going to fall into place as I obey. So we can go ahead and on to the next slide. What's the first part of pivot? It's prayer. And here's the question that you're asking God. What do I need most from God today? So when I wake up in the morning and I sit down to spend time with the Lord, I say, God, what do I need most from you today? Why do we ask that question? Sounds a bit weird. Almost sounds like we're being a bit selfish, right? Like, what do I need most from you today, God? This is why we ask, because you're not going to know what you're going to need from God today. He has already lived your day for you. He's already 10 hours into your day, so he's going to know whether you're going to need peace or strength today. He's going to know whether you need favor. He's going to know whether you need to forgive. For example, this past summer, I was at church camp. I've been going to this church camp since I was 5 years old. Also, I tell a lot of stories. They're not stories. They're actually testimonies. But that's how I do this. So get used to it. So I went to this church camp. And I go to this church camp. I've been going since I was 5 years old. Transitioned from a camper into a counselor now. So now I just go as a counselor. I'm with a bunch of kids all week long. And I sat down in the morning to do my pivot. And the Lord told me, I said, okay, God, what do I need most from you today? And I just sit and I listen. Okay, God, what do I need from you today? And he said, you need to be loved on today. And I was like, okay, that's not right. I'm not hearing him correctly. I don't need to be loved on today. I'm fine. I feel loved, right? I mean, my campers in my cabin love me. My counselors that I work with love me. I don't need to be loved on today. So I sat back again and I'm like, okay, God, let's try this again. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. What do I need most from you today? You need to be loved on. I'm like, all right, let's give this a shot. I write it down. You need to be loved on. Halfway through my day, I find out that my brother and I might not be able to come back to this camp because we're actually a different denomination than the staff that's at the camp. And they had, I guess, never knew that or whatnot. Anyways, this huge, huge situation happened. I'm really upset. I have no service. Can't call anyone from home to like talk to. Alex is dealing with the boys, like leading one of the small groups for the boys at the camp. So I can't go talk to him, and he's the only one who's going to understand. So I'm walking through camp. I'm so upset. I'm like on the verge of tears. This little girl runs up to me, 11 years old. She's like, "Hey, you've been teaching us Pivot and Prism, remember?" And I'm like, "Uh-huh, yesterday." I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Okay, so in class today, we were actually told that we should write a card for someone who is, really just awesome at camp, like a camper or a counselor, and I made you a card." And she gives me a card, and on the front of the card, as I'm on the verge of breakdown, it says, "You are so loved." And in the inside of the card, it says, "I couldn't imagine camp without you." And that's how God showed up for me in that day. I would have never known that not only do I hear his voice, but that's what I needed unless I would have asked that morning. And he told me. He tells you. He prepares you for your day. But how could you be prepared for your day if you don't ask him? It doesn't make any sense. And so another testimony. I went to Kona, Hawaii, for a ministry training. I was there for 2 weeks. By the way, Kona's really, really hot, and there was no AC at this training base. It was the roughest 2 weeks. So I'm at this base, at the camp base, and I wake up in the morning. I would wake up really, really early with the time difference. I was just up at like 5 a.m. every morning. So I was spending time with God, and I was like, "Okay, God, what do I need most from you today?" And he said, "Favor." And I'm like, "What? That makes no sense." Again, sometimes it makes no sense. I'm like, "I don't understand." And he's like, "Favor, you need favor." I'm like, "Okay, I hear his voice. I'm not playing this game again with God." So I write down favor. Halfway through my day, by the way, there is 700 students at this base, okay? Halfway through my day, I'm like walking out of one of like the services or whatever. I'm walking out and this girl like grabs my hand. She like grabs my hand. I don't know her at all. Haven't even met her yet. Again, 700 students. She's like, "Hey, can I pray for you?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. The better." So I just receive. And she stands and she prays in tongues for like a minute. And then she says, "Yeah, I don't know why, but I just keep hearing the word favor. So I'm supposed to pray favor over your life." And I'm like, "What?" That's wild, y'all. That's wild. This can happen on a day-to-day basis. This is how you hear the Lord. This is how you live a radical Christian life. This is what we're supposed to live. This is what we've been called to live from day one. And that's happening to me, and I'm mind blown. I heard that this morning. God told me that this morning. He prepared me for this moment. And so she just like prayed favor over my life and over my day and over certain situations that she could have had no idea was happening in my day. Certain situations that I was struggling with, certain situations that I was feeling. She like prayed all of that over me. But what introduced it was favor. There's favor on your life and I'm supposed to pray for more of it. And I'm like wrecked. I'm like, "All right, okay. Okay, God, I hear you," right? So that's why we ask, "God, what do I need most from you today?" And sometimes, like, that's the thing. This keeps you from asking amiss, because sometimes you may think you need, like, I don't know, a new car, when really you need contentment. You know? Asking him for what you really need most enables you to pray according to his will, not your will. And that's why sometimes you think you need peace or strength, and God's like, "No, you just really need the joy of the Lord today. You already have my peace. It's inside of you. I'm always with you. You just need joy today." And I'm like, "Oof, okay." Anyways, so that's prayer. Next one, vision. I love vision. Vision's like my favorite one. Vision for the day. What is the number one thing God is telling you to do today? Yeah, so here's the thing. God, we cannot possibly move and be obeyers if we're not asking God what he wants us to do today. We can't possibly be obeyers because we don't know if we don't ask. You know that phrase, like, God is a gentleman? He's not going to force you to do his will. He's not going to force you to obey. He's going to ask you to, but how do you know where you're supposed to obey in your life if you don't ask him? So every morning I sit down, I wake up, I sit down when I do my devotions, I say, "God, what is the number one thing you're telling me to do today? What are you telling me to do today? Above anything else, above my own plans. This has nothing to do with go to school or go to work. We know that's what you have to do. What is God asking you to do? Sometimes he'll put someone on your mind. That's not by accident. He's either asking you to intercede for that person, or maybe you're supposed to text that person. I can't tell you how many times God put someone on my mind. He's like, I want you to text that person at 3 p.m. today. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'll do it. And God ends up moving, and then ends up there like, oh yeah, I was just going through a really rough time, and you just texted me at exactly the right moment. I really needed to hear that. One of the coolest things that happened to me was I was on my way to Georgia for a conference. Vito was with me. That's why he's laughing at me right now. He witnessed all of this. But I was on my way to Georgia, and it was like the morning of, and I was like, okay, God, like when you get so used to doing this, you ask him about everything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, God, what are you going to do in Georgia? Like, what are you telling me? What's going to happen? And he's like, divine appointments. And I'm like, okay, what kind? And he's like, you're going to pray for someone. I'm like, okay, give me more. Like, you know, I always want to know, like, okay, how about you give me already who I'm going to pray for and what I'm going to say? Because it's so much easier when he gives it to you before you actually step out and pray for someone. He's like, no, that's it. I'm like, all right. We get to the conference, day one, okay? 70,000 people in the stadiums. I'm standing in the row in front of Vito's row. They saved us some seats. It's just me and my friend. And worship has started, and I am like, Holy Spirit was just so evident. Presence of God was just in that room. His glory was in that room. I'm just worshiping, minding my own business, and God like literally shakes me out of it. And he's like, you see that girl in front of you? I'm like, yeah. He's like, ask her if she leads worship. 70,000 people in this room. I've never done this before, okay? I'm like, I don't know her. This is my conversation with God. I'm not saying this out loud. In my head, I'm like, I don't know her. And he's like, I want you to ask her if she leads worship. And so I said, no. And I just put my hands up and I just kept worshiping. And God's like, what did I just tell you? I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah. So I like, oh, it took everything out of me to lean down to this girl. And I said, excuse me, she's like worshiping too. I'm like, excuse me. And she turns around, she's like, yes. I'm like, do you by any chance lead worship? She's like, how did you know that? I'm like, okay. Well, I just feel like the Lord's gonna release you into a new way of leading worship, and there's gonna be freedom into the room as you start to lead worship. Have no idea where that came from. I did not, God didn't tell me that before I said it. But then I prayed for her and released her into this next season. And I got done and I was like, oh, that was so cool, God. So I just started worshiping again. And I'm worshiping. And God's like, you see that girl next to her? Yeah, I'm like, yeah. She's like, I need you to ask if she ever speaks to young girls. And so again, I'm like, God, I can't do this again. Like, you just asked me to step out in such a huge way. I've never done this before. You're asking me to do it twice in one night? And see, here's the thing. God is so good. He knew exactly how to speak to me in that moment. He lovingly, but stern, sternly. Like, not in like a I'm angry at you way, but like sternly was like, how many times are we going to go over this, Angelina? You hear my voice. And I'm like, okay. I hear your voice. I know what you're saying. So I bend down again, and I'm like, excuse me, what's your name? She turned around, she's like, Mindy. I'm like, okay. I said, this is going to be really wild. I said, but I just had a vision of you. You were standing in front of a bunch of girls, and you were just like releasing a word to them. And as you were releasing the word to them, they were actually being encouraged. And I just believe that you're going to be a fiery woman of God that young people are going to look up to, and you're going to live. As soon as I'm releasing this word, the glory of God literally falls down on us. She's sobbing, and I'm sobbing. I don't know why I'm sobbing. She's sobbing uncontrollably. Like, she's crying. She can't stop. And I'm continuing to pray, and she's like, it was so sweet. She's like, no, you don't understand. You couldn't have known that. And I'm like, no, I do understand. I definitely didn't know that. It was not me. And it was the coolest experience of my life. And I was like, whoa, God. Like, you've been preparing this for me. You've been preparing me for this. As I stepped out in obedience every morning and sat down and asked you, God, what are you telling me about today? You started speaking to me even weeks in advance. You started talking to me about the trips that I'm going to go on. You started revealing to me what I'm going to release over certain people. That's what he does when you ask him. That's all it takes. God told me today, like, it's not about your calling. It's, are you willing to obey? Anybody can be up here and speaking and talking and releasing a word. Are you willing to obey? And if you are, he will qualify you. So that's one of my favorite things about vision. Vision part is one, honestly, one of my favorite ones to talk about too. There was one more. Can I share one more? Yes. Okay. I just got it as I was talking. So as you start moving in like a community in this, so our community moves in this all together, right? So our community, we all do this. We do Pivot and Prism every morning. And so one of the times that we were having Connect Group, and we're like finishing up. I like led the discussion, blah, blah, blah. We finished up. And then I'm like, hey, Adair, can you say a prayer? So she starts praying. And then she stops and she's like, hey, I just feel like, Angelina, can you finish prayer? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I'm finishing prayer and then I stop right in the middle of prayer. And I'm like, that's weird. Guys, I feel like we're supposed to make a declaration tonight. And Adair and another girl in the room start laughing. And I'm like, why are they laughing? But it's not like the laughing at you. It's like, I just said something that hit home. You know, like you say something and someone understands right away. You guys know what I'm talking about, like when two sisters, last night I had this experience with you and your sister, but like, you know, when two sisters are talking to each other, they're like eye contacting each other. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. I only have brothers. They don't do eye contact talking. Okay, sometimes I'm trying to get their attention. They won't look at me. But sisters do this a lot. But it's like two girls in the room right away made eye contact and they started giggling. I'm like, ooh, something's happening in the room. I'm like, okay, I feel like we're supposed to make a declaration tonight that we're never going backwards ever again. Like we're leaving that life behind. And there's just something else part of that declaration I don't quite remember. We got done. And Adair said, this morning, the Lord told me that tonight at girls group, we're going to make a declaration. He didn't tell me, he told her, but I was the one that initiated the declaration. That's how Holy Spirit moves. It starts connecting the body all together at once. It's the coolest thing ever. So, anyways, moving on from vision. I told you guys vision was my favorite one. That's the most I'll talk about vision. But anyways, that's vision. Vision is you're asking every day, what is the number one thing he's telling you to do today? We can flip to the next one. When you ask God for your vision for the day, you're changing it from God, I commit my life to you, to God, I commit this day to you. That's the difference. You know, a lot of times I have wondered, like, God, how have I gotten here even? Like, I'm so nervous to talk in front of people. How am I doing it right now? Right? But here's the thing, like, God prepares you, and it's in the day-to-day that he prepares you. It's going back to what I said earlier. It's like that question of, God, what is my calling? What is my calling? Am I called to be a worship leader? Am I called to be a pastor? Am I called to stand at the door and welcome people? Or am I called to do the cafe? What am I called to do, God? What are you calling me to do? And God's like, I'm calling you to be an obeyer. But to be an obeyer, you have to obey in the day-to-day things. And that's Monday through Friday when you're not at service. That's every day of your life. It's so fun, though. Y'all, it's so fun. It's the coolest journey that I've been on. I'm serious. It's wild. It's my favorite thing ever. It's changed my life upside down. It's radical, but it happens. It's real. It's real. So anyways, next one is accountability. When he gives you a vision, he's going to give you a time to do it at, okay? He's going to give you a time. Now, this accountability time is for yourself, but also it's because God is a God of timing as well. He knows better than you do what time this person might need an encouragement from you. He knows better than you do, so ask him. And also, it keeps you accountable, okay? So if God's asking me to text Ben and encourage him today, or tomorrow or whatever. There was actually a time, really cool that they're both here, but there was actually a morning a couple months ago in my pivot that the Lord told me to text Vito and Ben specifically and encourage them in the walk that they're in right now and what God is doing in their life and what God is doing in their ministry. And as I started praying for them, God even gave me visions for them. And so God told me a specific time to text both of them. So he'll give you a specific time. You just got to ask. That's it. Accountability is the easy one. If God tells you he wants you to do something, he'll also tell you when he wants you to do it. Just ask him. That's all. So, yeah. Next one. Testimony. Testimony. So fun. Testimony is, what did God do yesterday? So when I wake up in the morning and I've done my prayer, vision, and accountability, I say, God, what did you do yesterday? You know, the first time that I heard the testimony one, when someone was like, okay, you're going to write down your testimony for every day, I was like, wait, I know my, like, overall testimony. Pastor's daughter straight away was rebellious, came back to the Lord, blah, 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 blah. I know most people know that one. I know my overall testimony, so what am I supposed to do, write that one down every day? This enables you to thank God every single day for what he is doing in your life. Sometimes it's going to be crazy testimonies like, wow, so cool. Yesterday, God told me there was going to be a divine appointment. And I ended up praying for two girls and God gave me a word and a vision for them. And I never even expected it, right? Some mornings it's going to be, wow, yesterday was a really hard day. And my brother came in and got me a coffee. And that really meant a lot to me. Thank you, God, that you give me family who gets me coffee. Thank you, God, that you are so good. It's enabling you to thank God for things that happen in your day to day, right? And thankfulness is huge. It's huge. And so testimony can be something really big that happens yesterday, right? I received breakthrough. I received freedom. I testified in front of an entire group of people. I've never done that before. I was able to pray for someone yesterday. Testimony can be huge, but testimony can also be something very small. Like, God, yesterday you told me to step out and just be obedient in something in my life. Spend an extra hour in prayer, right? And I did it. That's a testimony. Thank you, God, for what you did yesterday, for what you reminded me of yesterday. I have one more. Sorry. They're going to keep coming. This is one of my favorite ones. You're going too fast for me. Slow down. I'm usually really fast, too. Like, I'm flying through this today. really quick, vision. We're recapping. We're going back two steps. One of my visions the other day, so I was at this conference 3 weeks ago. This is the most recent one and one of the coolest ones that I've ever gotten to experience. My vision was, I was driving, actually Vito was with me again, I don't know how that happens, but I was driving and we were at this conference and we were going to get coffee, and like right in the middle of getting coffee, I was talking to the Lord in my head. I'm like, oh, I forgot to do my pivot this morning. So I didn't spend time with the Lord that morning. The conference schedule's crazy, so I didn't get a chance to. So I'm like, Lord, what are you asking me to do? What are you asking me to do? What are you asking me to do? And he like interrupts me and he's like, I want you to intercede for two people tonight. I'm like, okay. So he gives me two names. I'm like, okay. So later that night, we get back to the service, and I just kind of go off to the corner in worship. I started worshiping, and then the Lord reminded me of who I'm supposed to be interceding for, so I just started to, like, powerfully, like, break through for them. You know, I'm like, okay, God, I'm standing in, like, the spiritual world for these two people. Like, I'm interceding for them. Whatever attack of the enemy is on them, I break it off right now in Jesus' name. I started praying for them, interceding for them. I get home from the conference 2 days later. My cousin is with me in my room, and he's like, whoa, you won't believe it. Like, what happened? I'm texting Jacob right now, and that's one of the guys that the Lord told me to intercede for. And he just told me that he had major spiritual breakthrough on this weekend. Yo, I was shook. I'm like, hold up. I was like, when? Like, literally ask him right now when he had spiritual breakthrough. He's like, all right. So he texts him. He's like, hey, when did you get that spiritual breakthrough? And he was like, Sunday night, Monday morning. Guys, that's when the Lord told me to intercede for him. That's wild. Is that not wild? That's insane. Like, to me, that was so wild. And also, honestly, I just know that the Lord did that for me. The whole part about Alan, my cousin, telling me, I know the Lord did that for me because that was just confirmation for me. Honestly, it was a testimony. God didn't have to do that. He doesn't have to tell me why I'm interceding for someone, but he did that for me. He's like, hey, by the way, here you go. Like I told you to intercede for that person. You were faithful. You were obedient. So now guess what? This is the testimony of your obedience. That's wild. Anyways, next one. Sorry. Prism. Let's get to prism. We're done with pivot, by the way. So that's pivot. Pivot is being obedient. Also, I'm dying up here. Pivot is being obedient with your time. And it's just asking God, it's inviting God into your day to day. So it's like saying, God, how, what can I do today? What do I need most from you today? What are you asking me to do today? Things like that. Prism. We're moving on to prism. Give me 1 second. It's always so awkward when people take a drink up here because it's so quiet in the room. All right, cool. Prism. Prism is a tool that helps you study God's word. Okay. Pivot and prism work together. They can't work separately. Because we have to be renewed by the word of God. Here's what I thought growing up. There's a quote up there by Vlad Savchuk. I'm going to read it. I'm a very fast reader, so stay with me. I almost felt like by reading the Bible, I was doing God a favor. God didn't write the book so that you give him pleasure reading it. God wrote the book so he can wash you with it. This is the book through which God serves me, not I serve him. I remember the image I got one time that changed the way I read the scriptures. I felt the Lord impressed it on my heart. He says, the way I wash disciples' feet, every time you read the Bible, you're not doing me a favor. I actually go down and to your situation, and I wash the feet that follow me. I wash the consciousness that has been dedicated to me. I wash you. I serve you. What does that mean? Personally, for me, reading the Bible growing up, I was raised in a Christian family. My dad's a pastor. I felt like I had to read the Bible to somehow satisfy God. Like God's like, I need you to read the word. You haven't read the word in a week. Wow. What a terrible child you are. I don't want you anymore. That was the thought process. That's religion. That's not relationship. And so what broke that for me is realizing, oh my goodness, the word of God was literally created for me. If I'm struggling with anxious thoughts, guess what? Get in the word of God. I promise you, you'll walk out in more peace than you walked in. It washes you. It transforms your mind. But when we look at it as I have to read this because God will be happy with me that I read this, I'm reading it as a set of instructions, just as something, a to-do list that I have to do. It's not washing my mind, but really it's to transform your mind. And so I will never forget, I'll never forget the moment I was in, again, Kona. And those of you who, there's this guy, if you ever can look him up, Andy Bird. He's one of the best speakers I've ever listened to in my life. He's so great. He's like, I finally got it one day when I was reading the Bible. He's like, you know, sometimes there are parts in the chapters in the Bible that are just like, okay, this is in no way whatsoever to my situation. You know, it's like, this makes absolutely no sense to my situation. So it's not really relevant to me. But he's like, it finally hit me. There was like some sort of breakthrough for me. He was like, I'm reading the word of God, and it was like the chapters in Leviticus. You guys know the ones I'm talking about where it was like, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. You know what I'm talking about? Someone say yes. I know y'all do. It's like the ones that go on and on and on, and some of us mainly just like skip through. We're like, yeah, name, 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 name. Okay. So he's like, he's talking about that word or that part, and he's like, it finally hit me. Oh my goodness, I'm reading so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And in my head, I'm not thinking so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. I'm thinking, wow, God, you are a generational God. You are my God, but you're also my parents' God, but you're also my future kids' God, and you're my grandkids' God, and you go on and on and on and on. And I'm like, in that moment, I was marked. I'm like, I want to read the word of God for the rest of my life like that. I want to read a chapter like that, and I want it to hit me so hard that I think to myself, not, wow, this is so boring, but he is my God. He's my parents' God. He's my kids', future kids' God. He's my future grandkids' God. That's how I want to read the word of God. Someone say amen. That's good. Anyway, so Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. How do you renew your mind? Through the word of God. That's it. That's the only way. That's how you renew your mind. That's how your mind is renewed daily. So we're going to go ahead and go through prism really quickly. Okay. Next slide. P, praise the word. Start off every single day with reading a psalm a day. Yes, every day. I started this 2 years ago. I've read a psalm a day for all of my days. Why? Why do I read a psalm a day? Why do I read a psalm a day? Praise the word is simply reading, well, it's reading a psalm a day, but one or two verses and praising God using the words of that verse. You start each day with praising the word. First thing in the morning, set the atmosphere of your day with God's word being praised through your mouth. Psalms 56:4 says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Praise is a weapon that God has ordained for us to defeat the enemy, and the word of God is the greatest source of praise you could imagine. So every day, start your day off with praise. Praise the word. It's a weapon. It's literally a weapon. So the days that I wake up and I don't want to read the word of God, or the days I wake up and I'm really not feeling it, praise releases something that you don't see with your physical eyes. It's releasing something not only into the physical world, but in the spiritual world as well. It breaks things down. Today, I know it sucks. Today, I don't get what you're doing, God. Today, I don't see the promises that you have spoken over my life, but I'm going to choose to praise you anyways. I'm going to choose to praise you anyways. So that's why we start the day off with praise the word. Next slide. Read the word. Just read in context. This one's simple, guys. I'm not going to go long on this one. Pick a book of the Bible that God is telling you or putting on your heart to read, or I don't know what God is telling me to read. Okay, start with Matthew, but be faithful and obedient in reading Matthew. Start with Matthew 1 today. Continue with Matthew 2 tomorrow. The day after that, continue with Matthew 3, and so on and so forth. That's it. Just be obedient in reading one chapter from whatever book God is placing on your heart. Okay, so we've read a psalm a day. We've read Matthew 1. Next slide. And then a proverb a day. Okay, proverb a day. Why do we read a proverb a day? Okay, Proverbs is the wisdom book. Right? And so if you're reading a proverb a day, there are 31 proverbs. You're reading a proverb a day. So you're reading it 12 times through in 1 year. Right. Yes. 12 times through. I was not a math major, English major. Thank you very much. Proverbs is the wisdom book. The success of your life depends on wisdom from God. How do you get it if you're not in Proverbs? So we read a proverb a day, every single day. And so I've read a proverb a day for the past 2 years since I started. A psalm a day, a book or a chapter of the Bible a day from whatever book you'd like to start with, and a proverb a day. What if you faithfully read a chapter of Proverbs a day? You will have read through Proverbs, God's book of wisdom, 12 complete times in 1 year, 120 times in the next 10 years. What impact might that wisdom have on the decisions you make? What would happen in the lives of your children? What if they developed the same habit as you? It would forever alter the course of your family's legacy for generations to come. For your children, especially preteens and teenagers, this habit is so critical. Next slide. God says in the Word of God, it says literally, above all else, get wisdom. Above all else, he says, get wisdom. So let's just simply put it, like, aside from everything else, aside from the success of your life, aside from the success of your future children, God tells us specifically, above everything else, I want you to get wisdom. How do we get wisdom? The wisest man who ever lived wrote down the wisdom God gave him in a book for you to read, divided into portions for each day of the month. That's huge. That's so important. We don't believe that's by accident. And so that's why we read a proverb a day. Okay, next. All right, please bear with me. You have read so far a psalm a day, a chapter of the Bible a day from whatever book you'd like, and a proverb a day. Basically, breaking this down very simply, put, you're reading 3 chapters of the Bible a day. So easy, y'all. So easy. So simple. It takes almost no time to do this. So at this point, you're going to study the word. Y'all heard of soap? Soap? Yeah? Okay, awesome. So we're going to quickly go through this. Soap is studying the word. You've read three chapters of the Bible. What I do is I either highlight or I write out the verses that stick out to me. Okay? So certain verses are going to stick out to you. They're going to hit home. If God is teaching you about patience, guess what? The verses about patience are going to stick out to you. If God is teaching you about faithfulness, guess what? The verses about faithfulness are going to stick out to you. And so then you're going to take those verses that stuck out to you that you've highlighted or written down, and you're just going to study them out. So SOAP is, the acronym is S-O-A-P. Wow, almost misspelled that. English teacher. Scripture. S stands for scripture. God, what verse do you want me to study further? That's it. So pick the verse and write it out. Scripture is just write out the verse. That's it. Next one. Observation. In O, observation means, God, what do you want me to see that I haven't seen before? What are you observing about the verse? That's it. Very simply put, what are you observing about the verse? What is your observation? A lot of times, honestly, guys, like, you won't even understand the revelation that you're getting until you start writing. You start writing your observation, and then you're writing, like, three paragraphs later, you're still writing. Because God is revealing something to you. You didn't even realize it until you sat down to study out that verse. He might sometimes also ask you to look into the meaning of words. So a lot of times when I study out scripture, even if it's like, guys, even if it's the simplest of words, one time I looked up the word shield. Literally. And just the definition of it gives you such a bigger, like, revelation of what God, like, is saying, right? Another time I looked up danger. Like, that sounds weird because, like, I know what danger means, right? But, like, I just looked it up because I wanted to know what God was specifically saying about that verse. Like, it's dangerous to do this and this and this, right? And I'm like, what are you saying about this, God? Well, he's just keeping me from danger. Like, he's keeping me safe. Another time I looked up the word warning, because a lot of times when we read the word of God and we see the word warning, it has a negative connotation to it. We get it, God, you're giving us a warning. And then I looked up the word warning, and the word warning is actually to keep you safe from danger. And I'm like, oh, he's not giving me a warning here as in to say, like, you better not, but he's literally trying to keep me safe. It changes my entire perspective on this verse. Again, breaking down religion and making it relationship. God's not pointing his finger at me and saying, I'm giving you a warning. He's saying, I'm warning you. Don't do it. Don't do that sin. I'm just trying to keep you safe. You don't understand that what looks like freedom to you is actually captivity. I'm just trying to keep you safe. Next one. Application in SOAP is, God, what do you want me to do now that you've shown me this? Okay, so how are you going to apply this to your life? Very easy. How am I applying this to my life? This verse really stuck out to me. How am I going to apply this to my life? Okay, very simply put, how am I going to apply this to my life? Ask him specifically and wait. He'll tell you. He'll tell you how he wants you to apply this to your life. Next one. And the last one of SOAP is prayer, okay? Write out your prayer to God. Just write it out. This is not a list of requests. This is a conversation you're having with God. If God revealed to you that he is the peace giver and he is peace, so if he's always with you, then you literally get to walk in peace. It's a choice you have. It's a choice. All of a sudden, that's a revelation I had one time. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, so when I worry, I literally have to decide that I get to step into peace because he's walking with me and he's peace. How am I going to apply that to my life? Okay, God, well, from now on, when I worry, when I'm anxious, when I can't go to sleep because my thoughts are running wild, I have to literally make a decision to be at peace. Like, I have to make the decision because you're with me. And it's up to me how I live my life. I can allow these anxious thoughts to overtake me, or I can say, okay, God, I'm going to step into peace. So write down your prayer. Ask him for grace to be able to do this because it's not always easy. Next one. The last one of PRISM. So PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. P, Psalms. R, read. I, insight. S, study. And then SOAP. Okay? So many acronyms. I'm so sorry. I know. I was going nuts when I first learned all of this. SOAP. And then last one is meditate of PRISM. Okay, why do we meditate on the word? This is what you're going to do. That verse that stuck out to you, that verse that you studied out in SOAP, you're going to meditate on it throughout the day. Why do we do this? You guys ever heard, like, in school, remember that, like, study? Correct me if I'm wrong. I just remember very vaguely there was this study about dogs and feeding them when the bell rang. And so then after that, whenever the bell would ring, they would, like, start, like, slobbering, right? Like, because they were expecting food. They were expecting to be fed, correct? Thank you for nodding at me. You're a real one. They were expecting food. They were expecting to be fed. And so the same thing is with the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, you're actually transforming your thought patterns. Why? How? What do you mean? What are you talking about? So that revelation that I got, that God is always my peace and I get to decide to be at peace. Next time when I worry, if I've meditated on that Word, guess what's going to come up when I worry the next time? Automatically, the Word of God is going to pop into my head instead of the anxious thoughts running wild. Because I've meditated on the word, I've brought myself back to that word all day long, the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to come into my mind, right? Because I've meditated on that word. So that's meditate. That's coming back to it. Congratulations. We have gotten through Pivot and Prism. I'm so super proud of you guys. That's Pivot and Prism. This is an example of one of my journal entries of just basically what it looks like. Pivot is up top, so it says Wednesday, August something. I can't read it from here. That's really blurry. 2019. P, prayer, vision, accountability, testimony. I wrote out my testimony, wrote out all of that, and then underneath I did my Prism time. Basically, just wanted this as kind of like an example for you guys to see kind of what it looks like on paper, just so you guys kind of get a visual. I'm a visual learner, so anyways. Next one. Last but not least, a daily call. So some of you at this point, if I've talked about discipleship and the call, and that's the whole point of this entire message, then how the heck does this make sense to be discipleship? What are you talking about? What are you trying to say? Before I go into discipleship and daily call, can we go back to meditate real quick? Rewind. I have a testimony on this one, and I completely forgot about it, but I told you guys I'm going to be telling a lot of stories, so here it is. Are y'all okay with that? Reply to me. Thank you. There we go. I see some of my cousins. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I had a person that I was walking with in discipleship with this, so she was doing her pivot in Prism, and I was doing my pivot in Prism, okay? She was a new believer. Like, when I say new, I mean I met her at work. We were coworkers. She was another teacher at my building. I met her. She heard about me doing this, like, pivot and prism thing. She really wanted to know about it, so I taught it to her, and then she asked me, like, can you walk with me with this? I'm like, yes. Heck yes, that'd be awesome. So we started walking together, and a couple weeks in, she's like, hey, she calls me on the phone, and this is what the daily call is about, okay? So you'll learn about this in a second, but this is how we share. She calls me, and she's like, okay, so my vision for the day was, I really need to go to the doctors, and I need to get anxiety medication, but it always makes me, like, act a little weird. And inside, I'm, like, screaming, like, inside, I'm, like, waiting for her to get done talking so I can be, like, don't do that. Like, God can literally, like, free you from anxiety. Like, you don't have to go to the doctors to be on medicine to be some kind of zombie because you're, like, scared of your anxiety, right? And so before I could go on, she's, like, yeah, but I knew that wasn't the Lord. And I'm, like, how'd you know it wasn't the Lord? And she's, like, well, I got into the Word of God literally 30 minutes after that to do my prism. And in my prism, the Bible says that no stronghold held against me can stand, and anxiety is a stronghold, and it's not going to stand. So I canceled the doctor's appointment. I'm not going to go get anxiety medication because God can literally heal me from that. I mean, new believer. I said not one thing. I didn't say one thing to her, but because she got in the Word of God, and the Word of God literally came into her situation and said, mm-mm, that's not how we move. That's not how we operate in the kingdom of God. You don't need that anxiety medication. That's a stronghold, and I can free you of that. That's what the Word of God does. I didn't have to say any of this to her. She just got in the Word of God. I just taught her Prism. Let me teach you how to read the Word of God, and the Lord revealed it to her himself. It was the coolest thing. Anyways, daily call. Also, I'm taking another sip of water. Okay, daily call. So at home, all of us have a partner and someone we walk with, and this is what we call a daily call. We have a daily call Monday through Friday. Saturdays and Sundays we don't, but Monday through Friday, 15-minute phone call. But guys, by the way, I want to stress this really quick. If you decide to do this with someone, 15 minutes is very important. Do not go longer than 15 minutes. Why? Because if you go longer than 15 minutes the first time, so my partner, the second one that I had, Allie, she's like, hey, our phone calls would go to like 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes. And I'm like, I can't keep doing it. Like, it's so long. I don't have that time. Like, we're all busy people, so I can't be on the phone for 45 minutes, right? I never knew how to tell her. Until I left for Kona for my ministry trip, and I partnered her with someone else for 2 weeks. I get back after those 2 weeks, and she comes up to me. She's like, you've got to be my partner again. And I'm like, why? I was like, that person is great. And she's like, I know, but she talks for like an hour. I don't have an hour out of my day. And I'm like, interesting. I'm like, sis, you talked for like 45 minutes. Now you understand. 15-minute phone calls, okay? This is what doing life together with other believers should look like. This is what discipleship looks like, okay? The Bible says exhort one another daily. If the Bible says exhort one another daily, how do I do that? How many of us are really exhorting one another daily? I do it on Sundays at Revive Service at 6 p.m. I do it on Tuesday nights at family dinner. I guess I do it on Wednesday nights when I do Connect Group. But other than that, the Bible calls us to exhort one another daily. How do we put this into practice? This is exactly how we put this into practice. It's a daily phone call. For 5 minutes, you share your pivot. For 5 minutes, they share theirs. And 5 minutes, you pray for one another. Very simple, very easy. But it puts into practice discipleship, and it starts raising up other leaders. And this girl who just came to the Lord and didn't know anything, 3 weeks in, is like prophetically praying for me over the phone. And I'm like, how did you know that about me? She's like, I don't know. I don't even know what I just said. I'm like, well, okay. It's what happens when you, first of all, introduce people to become obeyers. Teach them how to become obeyers, and then you teach them how to be renewed in the Word of God, radically changes your life. So next one. Next slide. Before you begin a daily call, ask God when you should do your pivot. Also, while I'm doing this last slide, if the worship band can go ahead and get back up there, that'd be great. Before you begin a daily call, ask God when you should do your pivot. So you're either doing it in the morning or at nighttime. Basically, when do I do my pivot is asking God. It's asking yourself, when do you spend time with God? Are you a morning person or a night person? If you're a night person and you spend time with God an hour or two at nighttime, that means your questions change to, God, what do I need most from you tomorrow? Okay? Because you can't ask for today because today's over. Okay? So just remember that. But if you're a morning person like I am and you do your morning time with the Lord and all of that, then you're asking for the day. Number two, ask God who he wants you to walk with. If you're new to this, I would really recommend that you walk with someone that's like someone that you respect, someone that you honor, someone that's walking with the Lord. There's going to come a point in time after this that you walk with someone that's very like close to you, someone on your level, that you're going to become a discipler. You're not going to be discipled, but you're going to become a discipler, which means you're going to be creating disciples. You're going to be doing the discipling. Does that make sense? Number three, invite them to join you for a daily call. Normally, this is how we like introduce it to people. Because if you say like, oh, come like walk with me for the next 7 months, they're like, imagine me the first time I was introduced to this, you know? It's like, hey, we're going to start this daily call 5 times a week. Monday through Friday, 15 minutes. I don't really know when it's going to end. Could go on for 6 months to a year. I was like, I'm sorry, a year? I was like, ugh. I remember when they told me to, they're like, after I was introduced to this, I'm never going to go without it for the rest of my life. Honestly, I was like, okay, I'll try it, but, and now I can full-heartedly say I'll never stop doing this for the rest of my life. I will never stop asking the Lord what he wants me to do today. I'll never stop being an obeyer. It's wild. It's changed my life. And then the last part is set a daily call time. Early is better before your workday begins. Monday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are off. Wait, what? Sorry. Very sorry. Monday through Friday we call. Saturdays and Sundays are off. So that's it. It's one of the most powerful things you can do as a Christian is a daily call. It will change you because it puts you daily in the place of obedience where God can bless you. It also holds you accountable. Want to know why? This does not make it religion, because you're forcing yourself to do it. But we are called to have accountability. So if I know tonight I get home at 1 o'clock in the morning and tomorrow I have a phone call with my person at 10 a.m. and I'm really tired and it's 1 a.m., guess what? I'm still gonna go spend time with the Lord. Why? Because I've got to share something with her tomorrow. It's not making it a checklist, but it is holding you accountable. And you'll start to notice how your life will radically change because of it. Right? So that's how we walk this out with discipleship. So here's what I'm going to tell you. This is not only going to teach you how to disciple people. This is going to teach you how to hear God's voice on a way, on a level that you never have before. I promise you that. I don't say that in pridefulness or saying that I hear the voice of God so clearly. I'm learning. But guess what? We're all in a place where we want more. I'm in a place where I'm like, God, give me more. That was the most wild, radical experience of my life. But if I stop there, if that's my ceiling, I'm not aiming high enough. I want more, God. I want to walk into random stores. I want you to tell me stuff about people to release them into freedom. I want to walk into a coffee shop and you point someone out to me and say, that girl right there, she needs freedom. I need you to pray for her. That's what I want. And so that's why this is so important. It doesn't just teach you how to disciple. It doesn't just teach you how to hear the voice of God. It teaches you how to pray. It teaches you how to spend time with the Lord. It teaches you how to be an obeyer. And that's what's going to change your life, by being an obeyer. So 3 weeks ago, when Ben and I were having our first conversation about this trip, I was really asking the Lord, like, God, what are you wanting to do? So see, you'll start asking way ahead of time, not just in your day-to-day, but 3 weeks ago I started asking God, what do you want to do at Elevate? Yeah, God. Would you just help right now, God? Would you just release freedom in your presence into the room right now, God? Would your glory just fall right now, God? Yeah, so I just felt like, first week of 2020, there were 7 nights in a row that I was having nightmares. 7 nights did not stop. I played worship music. I prayed. Nothing, it wouldn't stop. And the nightmares were about an abusive relationship that I was in months ago. 6-7 months ago. And I felt like tonight, what the enemy was trying to do to me, the enemy is trying to do to a lot of you, the enemy was trying to make me look backwards. He was trying to make me look at my past so I can't see my future. He only makes us look back to keep us from who we are going to be. And so he was trying to make me look back so I couldn't see what was coming in front of me, so I couldn't become who I was supposed to become. You know, it's funny. I was reading the story of Moses, and Moses quite literally takes his people, the Israelites, out of captivity and into freedom, right? They were slaves. They were prisoned, like they were slaves. And Moses takes them out of captivity, and he's taking them to the promised land. And they stop in the desert. And they stop in the desert. And they start looking back. Want to know why? Because they didn't have food to eat. They didn't have meat to eat. And so what they did was they looked back to their life when they were in slavery. And they said, well, we should have just died there because guess what? At least we had meat to eat. And God hears them in their grumbling. God hears them. They're looking back to a life that was comfortable, and they're confusing it with being desirable. So in those nightmares, I was looking back to a relationship that was comfortable, and I was almost confusing it just for a second with being desirable. When God has spoken to me very clearly, you're not meant to look back, you're meant to look forward. I have more for you. I have promises that I've spoken over you. I have freedom that I've set you in. You're walking in freedom. You're supposed to release others into that freedom. I don't want you looking back. I haven't called you to look back. You're confusing what was comfortable with being desirable. And guess what? God hears their grumbling. This is what shakes me sometimes. God hears their grumbling. He shows up to Moses and he says, tell them there will be meat in the morning. There will be enough for them to eat and manna, meat and manna in the morning. Tell them there will be so much that they will have enough for the day. And then the word of God says, then they will know that I am God. I want to know before I receive the promise. I don't want to be grumbling like the Israelites. God takes me out of freedom, or I'm sorry, he takes me out of captivity and into freedom. And just because I don't see the promises God has for me yet, I'm going to grumble and complain. I don't want to be like the Israelites. And then when God provides the promise, say, then I'll know that God is. In the middle of the waiting, I want to know that he is God. I want to know and prophesy my promise. I want to prophesy that God's going to pull through for me before I receive his promise. And so I believe that there are some of you in this room that the enemy is trying very hard for you to make you look back. Make you look back at a person that maybe you once were before. Make you look back to maybe a sin. He wants to cause shame and guilt. And God doesn't want that for you. And guess what? When we're looking back, we can't go forward. If we're looking back, we can't go forward. I one time heard Lisa Bevere say, my kids will either inherit God's promises or my fears. If I continue looking back at my fears and what the enemy is trying to distract me with, then those around me are going to inherit my fear, not the promises of God. So this really isn't just about even you. This is about the future generations to come. They're either going to inherit God's promises or they're going to inherit your fears. There are some of you in this room that the enemy is trying very hard to make you look back. And God's saying, mm-mm. Who you were back then is not who you are now. And you weren't called to go backwards. You're called to go forwards. There's some of you that have been in abusive relationships. Honestly, some of you, God's ministering to your heart right now. Yeah, God, we pray for that right now, God, more. Yeah, there's some of you that God's ministering to your heart right now. Maybe it's when you were a kid that you were abused. Maybe it's when you're older or you were in a relationship, or maybe you find yourself in the same relationship, different guy, but every single time you find yourself, why am I in this over and over again? There's freedom. There's breakthrough for you. If you think it doesn't happen in our Slavic culture, you're wrong. It happened to me. 8 years old. And it took me a long time to receive freedom, to step into freedom. So don't you dare let shame or guilt or anything hold you back from stepping into freedom, because you can today. If someone had introduced it to me a long time ago, I'd be moving and operating in freedom a long time ago. And lastly, I believe that some of you are being ministered to tonight. Some of you heard about hearing the voice of God. Some of you in this room, God is speaking to. You are called to live a radical life of faith. Radical life. You want it. You're called to it. You're anointed. You all are. But some of you are burning inside for more. And you're saying, I don't want to be this person I always have. I want more. I want to live a radical faith. I want to live a radical life. I want to be completely sold out. The gospel that set me free, I want it to set others free. Evangelism isn't just for the evangelist. Evangelism is for all of us, but if the gospel hasn't set you free, you can't set others free. You can't. You can't set others free if you haven't been set free. So as we step into this last song of worship, there's going to be a time of ministering. If any of those things touched your heart, if God is ministering to your heart right now, if your heart is burning right now, some of you, your heart is burning right now. If that is you, come up to the front to get prayed for. God is speaking to some of you tonight. God is releasing something in this room tonight. Don't miss it. This isn't about the people you came with. This isn't about looking around or seeing what's happening in the room. This is about you and God tonight. His presence over our preference. So God, we just thank you. God, we just say more. We just release, God, freedom into this room right now, God. We just thank you for the radical believers of faith that are in this room right now, God. We thank you so much for the calling that is on their life, God. We thank you for the preachers, the evangelists, the speakers, God, that you're raising up in this room right now. We thank you, God, for the people that you're marking in this room right now. We thank you, God, for the freedom that you want people to step into right now, God. We thank you, God, that you have literally ordained this tonight. And we thank you, God, that it's not based on our faithfulness. It's based on your faithfulness, and you are always faithful. Yeah, Jesus, we just release freedom into this room right now, God. In this time of ministering, God, would you just release freedom into this room right now? Chains of religion be broken right now in Jesus' name. Every lie of the enemy of shame, guilt, confusion, doubt right now, go. You have no place here. And we just say thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in this room, and thank you for what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.